as they head on down. Lord, we thank you for all our kids, Lord. We ask that they would be blessed as they go downstairs, Lord, that they, as they hear more about who you are and how you fit into their lives, Lord. We ask, Lord, if there's any children downstairs right now who don't know you, Lord. Lord, we would ask that today would be a day of salvation. And Father, for those who do know you, Lord, we ask that you would come alongside them, encourage them, and that they would be challenged in their walk with you, Lord. So, Father, now as we come to your word, we ask for your blessing. Lord, we pray that our lives would not be the same because your word is true in our hearts and minds. So, Father, give us humble spirits to receive what you would have us receive. Lord, I pray for myself, Lord. I pray that I would be able to share what you have and not what, just what I've prepared. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak, that we would hear from your word. Thank you, Father, for the joy and the blessing of the truth and clarity and life-giving purpose of your word. Lord, we're so thankful that that you love us enough to be involved with us. I would just pray that we would love you back today, this week, this month, and this year. Lord, we hear you. We hear you speaking. And we want to respond according to the truth of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we continue on in our series, there's a few things that we see here. Building a legacy, the life of Barnabas. And there's something that's interesting as you look at a guy like Barnabas. Remember, anybody remember what his nickname was? Son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. He was such an encourager. He was the guy who blessed so many people, who came in and blessed so many people, that he was given the nickname the Son of Encouragement. And in Acts 26, we remember from last week, when he came to Jerusalem, when Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote so much of the New Testament, when Paul came to Jerusalem, as it says in Acts 9:26, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing he really was a disciple. And Barnabas was the guy who was not only an encourager, but he was willing to risk. He was willing to put himself out there and get involved in Paul's life. And he loved on him, and he spent time with him, and they ministered together. And there was great blessing. And today, as we get ready for some of the newer, the scripture that we're going over for the first time today, I want to ask you this question. Have you ever been let down by somebody in the church? Have you ever been hurt? Have you ever been the one who lets somebody down? Have you ever hurt anyone? You see, we're going to hit an area of scripture where we see, you know what, one of the things I love about scripture is it doesn't just show all the victories. It doesn't just show all the things where the men and women of God were just lived these incredible lives, but it shows some of the reality of life, some of the good, some of the bad, some of the wonderful situations and some of the harder situations. Paul had been loved on by Barnabas, and he had been brought in to be a minister of the gospel. And one of the scriptures that we see here in Colossians 4:10, it says, "My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark," the cousin of who? The cousin of Barnabas. So we're coming in, and as time is going on, as we'll see in Acts 15, which is going to be our main scripture for today, we see that we see a gentleman come in, and he's been serving, and he's been and working with Paul and with Barnabas. And he's been used, John Mark, and he's the cousin of Barnabas. And anytime there's a family relation, do you think other people notice that family relation? Do you think other people are aware? Have you ever seen somebody get hired at a business and you think, oh, they're related? That explains it. There's a situation here where along the way, as they're serving, we see in Acts 13, John Mark, after serving successfully with Paul and Barnabas, it says that he goes home. Acts 13:13, from Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga and Pamphylia, where John left them and returned to Jerusalem. Now, that doesn't sound that big, does it? We don't know why John Mark goes and leaves them. There's been a lot of speculation. I spent this week reading about the argument that I'm going to be talking about between Paul and Barnabas, the disagreement, and over John Mark. And John Mark leaves, and so there's a lot of speculation as why did he leave? Some of the people said, well, you know what? There was a change in leadership. When John Mark first came to work with them and to be in ministry with them, his uncle, the flesh of his flesh, you know, from his family, he came and his own family member was leading this. His cousin. But here, he's leaving. And so, you know, maybe it was because, just maybe it was because that his cousin was no longer in charge. Have you ever gotten involved in a situation and you start serving, you start loving and getting involved, and then things change at the top? You know, maybe it was because they started to have a new focus on the non-Jewish people. There was an emphasis on the Gentiles. And that's quite a big adjustment for a Palestinian Jewish man like Mark, like John Mark. How does he come alongside? And not only is the head of the ministry in question, but those that he's ministering to is now, the focus is now changing. Where does he go with this? There's a lot of emotion going on. And so we come to Acts 15, our main scripture here, starting in verse 36, and it says this. Let's stand for the reading of the scripture here. Acts 15, verse 36 to 41. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Praise be to God. Please be seated. Guys, do you see what happened? Do you see what happened? We have two guys that have been there doing ministry together. Remember, Barnabas stuck up for Paul when no one else would, when all the other people, all the other disciples, all the other leaders said, you know what, that Saul from Tarsus who later becomes Paul, what if he's not really with us? What if he's setting us up? What is it if he's coming at us so that one day we can be held captive or even worse, be killed? And Barnabas stood up for Paul, went, ministered with him, served with him, and there was great blessing. And then they go and they continue in ministry. And as time goes on and as a new area of ministry comes up, what does this cousin of Barnabas do? He leaves. I want to ask you this. Have you ever had anyone that you were counting on leave you when you needed them most? It's a painful thing. Guys, one of the things I want from the scripture to come out is that this is not just a story of things, of people out there and things that don't really matter or don't connect to life. This is real script. This is real life. And we've got a situation where Paul has been counting on this guy, John Mark. He's been ministering with him. He's been doing things with him. And when he comes to a place where he needs him, John Mark, for some reason, goes and does something else. Was it wrong that John Mark left? I don't know. One of the things that's been really challenging is as I've been reading through this scripture this week, every single person, all my favorite guys that I read, that I listen to, that I hear from, they all disagree on this scripture. This is one of the scriptures that I get the biggest differing opinions on, especially on who's right, Paul or Barnabas. And you'll have some of my favorite where, so, you know, you've got two guys, you've got Paul. And what's important to Paul? The ministry, right? It's all about the ministry and what God has called us to do. And what's important to Barnabas? It's all about the people. And loving on the people and ministering to the ministers and loving and serving and getting in the lives of people. Who's right? Yes. They're both right. Who's wrong? And this is where there's even more disagreement. And I would say this. They're both wrong. And they're both right. Because you've got two people who are completely different. And they see ministry, they see what God has called them to, and everything about them is sees things from a different view. So the challenge is, how do you come together? And we see in this story that they came to a place, and it says in verse 38. Excuse me, verse 39. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark, his cousin, and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left. And then it says here, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. So a lot of people will say, see, commended by the brothers. So the church, the people saw that who was right? Paul, right? That there's well, that's the scripture right there in verse 40. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. So there's some who take that, and because he was commended by the brothers, it doesn't say that Barnabas and John Mark were. And so they must have been right, but is that what it's saying? How do you deal with a breakup of relationship in a church? How do you deal with two friends that both love the Lord, that both want to serve God, and can't agree on something that God has called them to? Well, what happens here? It says they both left, and Paul took Silas. And was, do you guys remember any of the stories of Paul and Silas? Do you remember when... Who was locked in chains and singing? Paul and Silas. They were serving the Lord. They'd been called. They'd been put in prison for ministering the gospel. And they're in chains and they're singing songs of joy. God continues to use Paul and Silas. God continues to use Barnabas and his cousin, John Mark. So I want to ask you this. What in the world is this scripture here in the Bible for? And one thing stands out to me. A couple things stand out, but one major thing stands out. This was not a situation on doctrine that they were disagreeing about. Guys, I think that's extremely important. This is not a situation about Jesus is Lord, and one is saying Jesus is Lord and the other one isn't. Or the Bible and its original writings are the word of God without error. And one is saying, no, it's just kind of about God. It's nothing like that. It's nothing finished. What is it about? A disagreement about personal issues. Who we go? Who can we trust? John Mark, he left us, Paul says. When we needed him most, he wasn't here. When I was given the reins and you were no longer in charge, Barnabas, you know what? Your cousin, he took off. He left. Don't talk to me about his mother who may have had... No, he left us. There's a disagreement. And guys, it doesn't say that they just kind of disagreed. What does it say? They had a what? A sharp disagreement. And they parted company. What does that say to us? Paul, who was there for you when no one else was? It was me, Barnabas. And where are you now? I'm asking you I invested in you. Can you not come alongside and invest in those that are important to me too? Can you, Paul, did you get a second chance? Did you get a second chance? Because I know we all deserve second chances, Paul. And you won't give my own cousin a second chance? You know what? I'm taking my ball and going home. I'm done. I don't know exactly what, but a sharp disagreement. They part company. What's Paul saying? Of course everybody deserves a second chance, but this is different. This is leadership. This is leadership. We got to know who we can count on, Barnabas, and he couldn't be counted on. When things started to go in a new direction and God started bringing us, he couldn't be counted on. See, what's the reality is, do they both have an argument? It seems like it. It seems like, and the reason I share it like this is because I want it to be not just something that's out there, these principles. We've all been in situations like this, haven't we? Where we argue with people we love. You know what? The arguments that are the biggest and the worst are the ones with the people we love. Because if we didn't love them, it wouldn't matter so much. If we weren't invested in their lives, we could walk away and it wouldn't hurt. But this is a painful split here. And it's not over this ministry or this theology or this doctrine. It's not over doctrine. It's over personal opinions. And so, guys, are they both wrong? Yes. And I want to say that clearly. They are both wrong. Why? Because is the Spirit of the Lord divided? No. Now, I want to also talk about where they're also both right in that they, or I talked about that, where they both have good, solid arguments. But they're also both wrong. But another thing I wanted to mention here was this. What doesn't happen from here? Paul doesn't say, you know what? Barnabas deserted me. I'm giving up. I am going. I'm taking my ball and going. I'm going. I'm done with ministry. How could he treat me this way? He was behind me all those times. Well, he should be behind me now. And instead, he's coming alongside just because this guy's his cousin? Are you kidding me? You know what, God? If this is the way it is, I'm done with ministry. I refuse to minister under these circumstances. I refuse. I'm gone. Barnabas doesn't say, after all I gave to Paul, and this is how he treats me. He can't even welcome my own flesh and blood. God, I don't get this. I don't understand. You know what? This whole church thing is enough. I've had enough. Guys, have you ever gotten to the place where you're just exhausted before God, relationally, spiritually, that your disappointment in people transfers to how you see God? It's amazing how we can see the weaknesses of believers and start to put those same characteristics and transfer them over to how we view God. Now, we might not be saying directly, God, you're like this, but we start getting more distant with God. We start dealing with depression. We start dealing with anger. And we start to see things in a very different light. And we start to blame God. I was just talking to a friend a couple weeks ago, and one of the things I was wanting to encourage him to do was to be real when he prays to God. To not try and speak Christianese to God. Guys, so often we have this reflex. I have it myself. Where we know the truth up here, but we're not experiencing it in life. We know the grace and the love of God, but we're angry at somebody, and so it's coming out in this junk. And the question becomes that how do I get through this to where now, because of this relationship going south, I'm treating God this way, and now I start to look at other people differently, don't I? Now, because of the unforgiveness in my heart, now because that unforgiveness, I've been brewing it. You know what happens to a stew when you brew it? It gets, everything starts mixing together, doesn't it? You can't take a stew or a soup, guys, just in case you're wondering, Cooking 101 with Matthew Shorey, which my wife would say, be careful here. He does like 4 dishes well. And he does 5 dishes really bad. But he still does them over and over. When you brew it all together, man, the flavors start to, everything starts to mix. And it takes on its own unique flavor. The same thing is with anger and bitterness. When we start stirring that pot, it doesn't affect that one relationship that we've got that problem with. Now it starts going into all of our relationships, including our relationship with God. Now we start getting bitter. Now we start seeing things from a different point of view. Now we're more careful because we're wiser. But maybe it's not wisdom. Well, I've learned over the years, well, maybe we've learned that because we've held on to that bitterness. Guys, in all the years of marriage counseling, when I see a husband and wife come in and both of them sit down at the beginning and they're looking at me and they're looking at their spouse and they're thinking, how is he going to fix her? How is he going to fix him? And then God is speaking through his word, through his truth. And saying, what is God wanting to do in your heart, not your spouse's heart? And all of a sudden, when the eyes start getting off of what they need to change, and the eyes get on, who am I in Christ? Where's my real identity? Because it's a beautiful thing when you see two who are separate, who weren't separate, come back in that intimacy of love. It's not just marriage, is it? It's in friendships. It's in churches. It's at work. These are real things, guys. Real things that we're dealing with. And I want to encourage us. Man, we've got to be so careful. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns Whose name is first there? Paul. Remember, we've been hearing Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas, Paul, Barnabas. But now it's Paul and Barnabas. Let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Let's go back. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the brothers, to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia and strengthening the churches. We've got two men that part ways with different people. One thing I want to say is God still uses both of them. Because they didn't give up on the Lord. Did they have a problem with each other? Yes. Yes, they did. There's no way to get around it. They did. But some things happen, and we see some of the softening. One of the things that's clear is there's no mention in Scripture of the two of them ministering together after this. I've searched and searched and searched. I can't find it. There's no mention of them serving together after this. But there is something that we see. And that is in Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:11, it says, and this is Paul speaking, get Mark. This is the same Mark. This is years later after Paul finds, Paul finds the formerly useless Mark, and now he finds him useful. He says, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministering. So sometime later, Paul reaches out and he says, hey, I need Mark. He's useful. Think of what that must have meant, not only in John Mark's life, but in Barnabas's heart when he reads that later, when he hears about it. Man, he's bringing him back in. You see, one of the things that happens is when even when there's sin, when you continue on for the Lord, there's a softening of the heart. You can't continue to follow God and still have that bitterness not somehow be dealt with before God. Guys, some of you might be right now in a place to where your anger and frustration has forced you to step and you're just like this, but you're still following in your walk. And you know what? The reason there's that turmoil in your heart, the reason there's that stress in your life is because you weren't meant to be out of relationship with other brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And when we have that, there's something inside of us that we can remove ourselves physically. But that bitterness goes where? It goes right with me. And now, now I've got this edge to me, and now I start being involved in, but now I'm a little harder and a little angrier. And I spiritualize it by saying I'm wiser. But there's this heaviness that travels with me. I'm wiser. Is that wisdom? It might not be wisdom. I already read the scripture, but it's from later. I used it just to give the relationship between John Mark and Barnabas. But in Colossians 4:10, it says, my fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, what? Welcome him. Welcome him. And then something that Paul says about Barnabas in 1 Corinthians 9:6. Paul later affectionately mentions Barnabas as he's as being worthy of support, financial support in his work proclaiming the gospel. He says in 1 Corinthians 9:6, "Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working for a living?" He's putting himself in. What's Paul doing here? He's showing that his heart is still drawn. That something has changed in his heart. You know how I know I've forgiven somebody? When my prayer doesn't sound like this: "God, get him! Bring the full wrath, baby. Bring it. Nothing's going to speak to that soul like a whole big dose of wrath. And let's, can we see some frogs and some fire? Man, bring it on, God." That is a heart that is still broken. When you want God's justice for them and their justice is the consequence, you haven't forgiven. You may have said the words, "Guys, for years, I said the words with my mouth, 'I forgive my dad.' For years, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of years for years I had said it with my mouth as a believer. For a lot of years before that, even before I was a Christian, it was my goal in life was to one day make that man pay for what he did. Then I became a Christian. I had to make it sound Christianese, right? God, bring justice upon this man." My heart hadn't changed. Then I came to a place of, "God, forgive me." Some would say, "Forgive you. Look what he did to you. Forgive me. Forgive my heart for holding his sin and allowing that to separate us." And what he'd done, was it wrong? Yeah. Absolutely. But he's my father. I'm called to honor and respect him. Not because he deserves it, but because it honors God to do so. And when I started doing that, man, all of a sudden things change. And now the prayer starts turning into, "God, please forgive my dad for his sin. He doesn't know you yet. He's angry at the world." And then it gets to, "God, please bless my dad. Bless him. Bless the socks off him. Just, I pray that your blessing would be so great in his life, relationally and spiritually and emotionally. Lord, he's been so, man, speak blessing into him. I love my dad. I used to hate my dad. You know what changed? My heart, my mind. It's only by the power of Christ Jesus. Jesus is greater than the bitterness that is in me, than the bitterness that is in you. Who do you need to forgive, guys? Who are you holding? And it's not because, "Well, pastor said that it's not what they did wasn't so bad." No, it may be atrocious. It may be, here's the word, unforgivable. Do you put yourself in a situation where you'll be hurt again? No, that's not what I'm saying. It's not what God's word says. But do you forgive? Because what happens with forgiveness? When I forgive, I'm saying I'm no longer bound by this emotion. They might be in the grave and you are still bound by your anger and bitterness for them. Is there somebody in the grave who still controls you? Who's you have such anger and burden and fire for, that they're dead long and gone, and they're the most important person in your life, because all you want is somehow vent, man, at least, man, burn in you know where. I mean, honestly, don't we have the heart like that sometimes? It's kind of shocking to hear the pastor say it, right? I didn't say H-E double hockey sticks, right? But... right?
Yes, right.
Man.
Right.
We need to let it go. And not just let it go, we need to forgive and then grab on to Christ Jesus, the truth of the Word of God. Because we don't just let go of what's the junk, we grab on to what is true. Because otherwise we're just going to be filled with a new set of junk. And the only thing that I know that's truth is God's Word. I've tried everything else in one way or another, to some degree or another. We don't have to be broken, guys. We don't have to be broken people who break people. We can be whole people who bring the love of Christ to others. We see that with Paul here. We see that with him. Hey, John Mark, if he comes, welcome him. He's my guy. That's a big difference between we're going separate ways now. I'm done with you. Something happened in Paul's life. And I think that it needs to happen in ours, doesn't it? And here's the thing. It needs to happen over and over and over. And as soon as you forgive, guess what's going to happen? The enemy's going to bring something new. Someone else new. Or maybe an old wound. Maybe even a new wound through the old person. I forgive them. Great. Now there's a new offense. Right? So guys, I went longer than I planned, but I really felt like the Holy Spirit was just saying we need to camp here a little bit. So I apologize for going late. But I just really feel like this is so important. We need to hear this. We need to receive it and ask what God is wanting to do in our hearts and our minds with this. Let's pray. Whew, God, you know I was a little intimidated with this message, Lord. Lord, you know where I've failed here. Father, you know where I've missed the mark. Lord, thank you so much that you are a forgiving God. That you, in your perfection, forgive me in my brokenness. That I don't get to come to you as my Lord and Savior because I got it all together. Because I figured it all out, Lord. I get to come to you because of what Jesus did for me. Because I couldn't find a way to get it done myself. God, give me the understanding and the transformation to where I can then give that same love and truth away. I don't know how to do it. Father, if you are working through your people, and whether we say together, where we see some people move on, whether we see this, whether we see that, Lord, regardless of what happens, Lord, we pray for your blessing to be in those relationships. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two things. All of Scripture comes from these two things. Love God with all of it, and love the people around you with God's love. Father, we all fall so short of this. It's embarrassing. It's humbling. Forgive us, God. Forgive me. Father, we need your help here desperately. We can't do this apart from your Holy Spirit. But this doesn't mean we continue to be a victim in situations, but it means we don't allow the old wounds to change us and to try and bring a new identity of hatred into our lives and take away from our true identity, which is children of God, loved by the one who forgave us, who knows us, who loves us as we are because of who he is in us. Father, I pray if there's anyone here who doesn't know you personally, Lord, I pray that they wouldn't try and do this apart from Jesus. It doesn't work. Lord, because we know you personally, and you are a God who has been mistreated. You are a God who's been mocked and spit on. You are a God who's been abandoned. You are a God who knows what it's like to suffer more than we do. And yet you were perfect in your love, without sin, in the midst of being mistreated. Lord, we can come to you and know that you know what it's like. We have a God who understands us. That's worth so much. You're not relating to us according to ideas. You know. And Lord, yet you forgive us. My sin put you on the cross, and yet you forgive me. Father, may we have that forgiveness, that love, that grace for those around us. Not because they deserve it. Lord, we pray for those that this is a tough one, which basically is all of us. God, show us how to deal with this. How to hand it over to you. Each situation, it's a little different. But it requires humility, and it requires love and forgiveness. So we pray that for our hearts, Lord. Show us how to do that. Thank you, Lord, for each one here. Bless them. Encourage them. Minister to them. We pray for wholeness amongst our people here and in this community, Lord. Lord, we pray the gospel would go out and people would come to you. Father, forgive us for getting so focused on our lives that we forget to look out away from ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Pray that we would stand in strength, in love and forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys.